few years back, Quentin Tarantino was interviewed by the British press and asked, given his status as the contemporary kind of sultan of splatter, whether there was anything in film that offended him. Pondering for a moment, this man that brought us Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, he could only come up with one thing in the history of film that offended him. And that was Monty Python. And not the corpus of Monty Python, mind you, who could be offended by The Life of Brian, but one specific sketch from one movie so stuck in his mind that he just couldn't shake it. I can see the Python fans in the congregation racking their brain. Which one is he going to talk about? It was a scene from the 1983 The Meaning of Life entitled Mr. Creosote. Now, I won't defame this place by going into detail about that. You probably have all heard the punchline, so let's just briefly recap, shall we? A comically obese man goes into a fine French restaurant and proceeds to order everything on the menu and twice as much of what he likes. He eats and eats and eats, and by the end of the sketch, he is enormous, filling up a portion of the restaurant, his shirt buttons straining. He's the size of a large inflatable, you know, one of those Macy's Day balloons. And the snooty French waiter comes to present and says, "There is but one more thing." The man protests, "Mr. Creosote, I couldn't eat another thing. I'm stuffed. But it is a mint. And I assure you, it is wafer thin." Cajoled thus, Mr. Creosote consumes the wafer thin mint and then explodes, leaving viscera all over the fine French restaurant. Now, I bring this to mind today because this is a little bit how I feel at the end of 4 weeks of John's gospel text. We have gorged ourselves for the last 4 weeks on the gospel according to St. John. I bid your prayers and your thanksgivings for the deacons who have stood amongst you and read these texts. Moreover, for the acolytes who have held that brass book up like this for countless verses. We are stuffed to the gills. And perhaps, like watching the beginning of any Python sketch, wondering what it all means. But enter Caroline Lewis of Luther Seminary, who, playing the role of the snooty waiter, says that there's one more verse we should consider to unlock all of this glut, but she assures us it is wafer thin. The verse she has in mind comes from another familiar portion of John's Gospel, John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana in Galilee, where Jesus turns water into wine. In the midst of all of that confusion, the camera, so to speak, focuses in on our sister Mary, the mother of Jesus, who says to the wine steward, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And Professor Lewis suggests that this strikes a chord that rings throughout the gospel according to St. John, that any time Jesus tells us to do something, we should consider doing it. And that at the heart of each of these familiar but epically long texts that we have encountered over the last 4 weeks is a simple instruction from Jesus. That as we develop our Lenten discipline, we would be well to heed. And so let us review the menu. 4 weeks ago, on the second Sunday of Lent, we encountered Nicodemus, or rather, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night with a question about identity and authority, to which Jesus responds with a cryptic, "Get born." 1 week later, finds Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he tells her to give him a cup of water. Last week, Jesus happens upon a man who was blind from birth. He rubs mud in his eyes and tells him, "Go and wash." And today, in what is perhaps the most unlikely situation, Jesus has the door of a tomb rolled back and shouts, "Lazarus, come out." 4 simple instructions to those who seek to benefit most from their encounter with Jesus. Yet again, rather cryptic. Get born. Give me a drink. Go and wash. Come out. Like everything in the gospel according to St. John, we have to get down past the literal level to a certain extent in order to see perhaps what Jesus is about here. What is it that he is asking each of these characters to do? And how does that play into our season of discipline and training through Lent? In a certain respect, the easiest to understand is the man born blind. Both at a literal level, if Jesus is to effectively restore his sight, he's going to have to get the mud out of his eyes. But the rest of that story, as you recall, rolls around, so to speak, in the theology of sight. By washing the mud out of our eyes, we are invited with the man born blind not just to see, but to see more clearly. To see in a way that ultimately the Pharisees and others of Jesus' day are not able to see. And Jesus calls out to us across the centuries, go and wash, get the mud out of your eyes, and look more closely to see the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well is a little bit better, but if we have and approach it, or a little more difficult, but if we approach it with clean eyes, maybe we can see a little more clearly what Jesus is inviting this woman to do. By inviting her to serve him against all social norms, Jesus is making a statement that he will clarify later in the passage about what it means to be in relationship with God, neither here at this well or at the temple in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. To worship Jesus rightly, to worship God rightly, is to be in a personal relationship with Jesus, one in which we might even give him a cup of water and receive in return the water of eternal life. And if we can follow him that far, then maybe we can even go back into that darkened room with Nicodemus and accept his instruction, get born again. Allow God's grace to transform you, to deepen your understanding, to better prepare you for a life spent in fellowship with this God who you see clearly and know personally. A life that will prepare you to come out of your grave, even with Lazarus. For all of these instructions are a part of a deepening and methodical increase in our relationship with God, the goal of which is life. Life reclaimed, perhaps literally as we see in the witness of Lazarus, but perhaps even more profoundly in Jesus' next phrase, "I am the life." For the call is not for us simply to put off or deny our death, but to be in relationship with the one who is life, who will give us understanding, who invites us into relationship, who will reveal himself to us, not only in text and scripture, but in the world around us, if we only see clearly. And so this epic feast of stories from the life of Jesus' ministry is actually the story of our life. And a set of disciplines for Lent that we can embrace. Now, these disciplines, as with all good disciplines, are not slavish obedience. It's not, at the end of the day, a great game of Simon Says. Jesus says, get born, and we get born. Jesus says, give me a drink, and we get a drink. Jesus says, go and wash, and we go and wash. Go to church every Sunday. Oops, Jesus didn't say. But like any good discipline, we are, in fact, preparing ourselves for something else. One final commandment, one new commandment that Jesus will give us in a few days. When he gets up from washing the feet of his disciples and says, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another. In doing so, Jesus will be so crystal clear as perhaps to be frightening. It probably should be frightening. Gone are the metaphors, gone are the symbolic acts. Jesus encountering his disciples and saying, serve one another this way and love them. But hopefully we will be prepared. Prepared through a discipline of practice that begins with a deeper understanding of what Jesus is about, that seeks always a better relationship with him, that looks for him in the lives of those seated around us, and that not only seeks but promotes life, both our life and the life of others. Friends, my prayer for you as we enter this last week of Lent and prepare ourselves for the mysteries of the Passion of Holy Week is that your discipline during this season of Lent, whatever it was, has prepared you to love more deeply, or at least has prepared for you to, following the example of our sister Mary, do whatever it is Jesus says. For he is calling you into life. Amen.